Good morning. Oh, this is Rudy to Earth. Now you get it. Now you get it. So good to be with you, beloved. It's been a while. It was always a joy to be with God's people, and there's no greater activity than to be in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, thinking about him, thinking about who he is and what he has done. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Greatest gift of all, the gift of God's beloved Son. God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. We're going to read this morning from the book of Hosea. Hosea in chapter 14, the last chapter of that book. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves or the praises of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow up like the lily and cast forth her roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be like the olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive like the grain and grow like the vine. The scent of it shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree from it. For from me is thy fruit found. Who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall in them. Admittedly, the book of Hosea is a difficult book. But throughout the book, if you read it, you can find God's redeeming love. It begins with the unfaithfulness of Israel. And it is likened to the marriage relationship. And Israel, God's people, proved to be unfaithful. Then we have God calling on his servant. And this is a very difficult part to understand. But he said to his servant Hosea, go and take this woman of ill repute and marry her. It was God's direction, because God was highlighting that relationship of Israel. And it's going to be likened like to that of Hosea, and Gomer was her name. A relationship that would prove unfaithful, and even though he had to put her away, he, in love, and this demonstrates God's love as well, he would take her back again. The same that what God did with Israel, unfaithful, through this relationship between Hosea and Gomer, God gave them 3 children. And deliberately, God chose the name. When the first boy was born, God said, call him Jezreel. That means scattered. Then there was a daughter, and God says, call her Luruhema. Unpitied. No mercy. Then the third child came, and God said, call him Lo-Ammi, the son, meaning not my people. They are not my people. So that was the kind of relationship that God had with his people. And it was demonstrated in this relationship between Hosea and Gomer. And God's call throughout this book was a call to Israel to repentance. Repentance. God was calling them to change their minds, to change their attitude, to change their manner of behavior, and to turn to him. What we want to emphasize this morning is what God says in his word through his servant. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And take with you words. That's what we're going to talk about. Take with you words. And say, the Lord expects us to come in repentance and to bring words, not words of excuses, not words of delegating blame to others, but take with you words. And turn to the Lord and say unto him. Say unto him. You know, we say in our time that silence is golden, but it's dangerous. This is not a time for silence. This is a time for repentance, and you have to take words with you. You got to say to the Lord. The Bible tells us, beloved, you and I, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Take with you words. It is not a time for silence. You have to say to the Lord, here is the admonition, take away all our iniquity and receive us graciously, and we will render the praises of the calves of our lips. Take words with you, because he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Confesseth and forsaking shall have mercy. Take with you words. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke many parables during his earthly ministry. One of my favorite is the parable I'm having a senior moment here, but the parable of, remember the boy that left home? The prodigal son. The prodigal son. Why give me all that trouble? The prodigal son. I said it was my favorite, and still I can't name it. The prodigal son. And he had an attitude. He said, it's time to leave home. I can't live under these conditions. And he insisted that his father gave him whatever portion was coming to him, and he would be on his way. So he left. He left home. And he took his journey into a far country. And when he left, and he had a lot of friends because he had a lot of money. But the time came when his money ran out. And his friends disappeared. And it says, no man gave unto him. So he went down to the very depths of despair. His occupation now was feeding swine, and it couldn't support him. He couldn't eat from what he was making, for the Bible says that he would fain fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And one day he came to himself, and he thought of what he had left behind. He knew he had forsaken his father, and he had divided his father's living, so he knew that he had no claim on his father, so to speak. But he thought of the people in the household, those who work for the father, the servants. He said, they are better off than I am. So he said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him. Take with you words. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be called thy son. He was not going back with an attitude. He was not going back blaming his older brother. He was not going back asking his father to relax the restrictions of his home. He was going back in repentance because he had done wrong. He says, I will say to my father, I want to be a servant. We have this thing about us that when something goes wrong, it's never our fault. It's my brother's fault. It's my sister's fault. It's anybody's fault but mine. If you go back to the 70s, a famous comedian used to say, it's the devil made me do it. He says, I have sinned, my father, and I am not worthy to be called thy son. I'm going to say that. take with you words and say. There are no blessings for covering our sins. There are no blessings, beloved, out there. God's not going to bestow blessings if we cover them up. If you really, really want to know the consequences of covering our sins, then look at King David. He didn't bring words. In fact, he covered it up for year after year. He did not admit what he had done. Then comes the prophet Nathan with a parable. Told him of this rich man who had all these flocks, and he had a friend come by, and he didn't want to take one of his little lambs to prepare a meal. And this one guy had just one little lamb. And he went and he took his lamb and entertained his friend. David was angry, and rightly so. Why not? It was against the law. And David said he must die. Not only must he die, but he must restore that fourfold. That's according to Jewish rectitude. You have to return it. Fourfold. You can't do that. And Nathan turned to David, and you know those famous words, "You are the man. Thou art the man. I'm talking about you. I want you to look at David in 2 Samuel chapter 12. David didn't blame Bathsheba, as some preachers like to think, that Bathsheba was to blame. That she enticed David. Nothing of the sort. David messed up, and David covered it up. And Nathan the prophet told him, "You are the man." And David said unto Nathan, verse 13, "I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Take with you words." Not blame. He didn't say it was her fault. He didn't say it was the men around me that enabled me. He took words, he says, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan said, "The Lord also hath forgiven you." Say, take with you words and say. We say a lot of things, beloved. A lot of things that aren't so. John the Apostle reminds us. In 1 John chapter 1, he says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie." Don't say that. Verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." Verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." What do we say then? Take with you words and say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say, like the prodigal, I mentioned earlier that David covered up and he lamented and he suffered all this time. All this time he was covering up his action, what he had done. And he wrote about it. This is what he said in Psalm 32. He didn't bring words. He covered it up. He hid his sin for years. And this is what he said after he came clean, after he had confessed his sin to the Lord and repented of his sins. This is David's testimony now. He says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." And he's looking back now, and he says, "When I kept silent, when I kept silence, my bones became old through my rowing all the day long." When I covered that stuff up, I was miserable. "For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Selah, he was parched dry. Then he says, "I acknowledge." Take with you words and say, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Selah. Take with you words and say unto the Lord. Say unto him. Tell him exactly what you have done. That's not all that David wrote concerning his transgression and his sin. He wrote also in Psalm 51, that penitent psalm, and he wrote a lot of things in that psalm, but he ultimately acknowledged that not only did he sin against Uriah and his wife, but he acknowledged that ultimately all sin is against God, and he confessed. He said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." That's David's confession. Take with you words and say unto him. Because we're not going anywhere spiritually. We're not accomplishing anything spiritually if we continue to cover them up. For David said after he confessed that sin, he says, "Only then, and then shall sinners be converted unto thee. Only then will I teach transgressors thy ways." Other than that, if we have unjudged sin in our lives, we're just flogging a dead horse. We're not going anywhere. Sin must be judged. And David was very unhappy and very miserable when he covered up his sin. Take with you words and say. Say to the Lord what you have done, what we have done as a company, as a Joseph. He didn't go into sin, but he said, "You know, if I yield to this temptation," he said, "if I yield to it, it's not merely a sin against my master's wife. It's not merely a sin against my master who put me in charge of all his household." He said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Every sin is against God. "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." You know, we are going through trials right now, beloved, as a nation. And the church is feeling the pinch. We are affected by what's going on in our society, and beloved, you and I can do something about it. And just praying that the Lord would take away this COVID-19, it's not enough. And it's not going to automatically go away. God said there are conditions. He said to Solomon, if I send drought upon the earth, and if I send a plague among you, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. That's you and me, beloved. It begins with humility. And pray. Take with you words. Pray. Seek my face, because we don't have the answers. And repentance. Turn from your wicked ways. God says, then will I teach transgressors thy way. Then, he says, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive your sins. And then will I heal your land. You think we need healing? We do. It begins with us. God's people. My people. Call by my name. You and I. We are called by his name. We are called Christians. Christ ones. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the godly. We are called by his name. It's not the world. It's his people. Take with you words and say. Say unto him. Now the sin of Israel, the threefold. The sin that they were confessing to God was a threefold transgression against the Lord. First of all, they depended on a foreign power. They looked to Assyria to deliver them. And they confessed. God told them, Assyria cannot save you. Assyria shall not save us. For vain is the help of man, beloved. Our help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. Assyria will not save us. Neither we will not, verse 3 I'm reading from, we will not ride upon horses. They were depending on the swiftness of the horses of Egypt. We have great military might, but we cannot deploy our military might against an enemy we can't see. How about against the plague that we have problems in recognizing? So the horses of Egypt, don't trust in the horses of Egypt. Psalm 20 says this. Okay, got some time. Psalm 20 says this. Verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's where our trust is. Psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. The power of Egypt cannot deliver you. In fact, God says you need to avoid Egypt, because Egypt speaks of the world. And too often we look to the world for leadership when we should ourselves should lead based on God's word. In Isaiah 31 it says, verse 1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on the horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Assyria shall not save us, and we will not ride upon horses. Not the swiftness or the strength of the horses of Egypt, likened to the world and the economic system, and if everything goes well, we'll be all right. Not really. Not really. The sin of relying on a foreign power, Assyria, and trusting in the horses of Egypt for their deliverance, for their defense. They had another sin. It's the sin of idolatry. It says, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. That sounds familiar. We will no longer say to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. Is that familiar? Well, let's go to Exodus. You will remember it. I jog your memory. Exodus 32. Exodus 32. The work of our hands, idolatry. Israel again. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool after he had made a melted calf. And they said, these are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Idolatry. Now, you may not have a golden calf. You may not have a molten image. But what is priority one in your life? What is the first thing, first and foremost, the most important thing in your life? Remember, God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And if there's something you're idolizing, if there's something or someone that's taking the place of God, that's an idol, and that's a sin against God. No longer will we say to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the Father, the fatherless, findeth mercy. Take with you words, beloved, and say unto the Lord. Say unto him, bring genuine words of repentance. Never mind about him, never mind about her. It's about me. Me. I have sinned. I have sinned. I did it. I am guilty. The Apostle Paul reminds us that there's weakness and disease and even death among us because we don't judge ourselves. We don't judge ourselves. The most important judgment for you and for me, beloved, is self-judgment. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Self-judgment. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Take with you and say. You know where Nehemiah was in Shushan, the palace? He still had a heart for back home. Because back in the land of Judah was the place of his father's sepulcher. He was captive and he had a good job down in Shushan because he was the king's cupbearer. But he was still concerned about back home. His brother came, and he asked, what's going on back home? And the report was very bad, very bad. See, the people are in disarray. The people are impoverished. He said, the city lieth waste. It's all broken down. The walls are broken down, he said. The walls are broken. The whole city is in shambles. The walls are broken down. The gates are burned with fire. The people are hungry. It says he wept. Nehemiah wept. And then he prayed. I want you to understand the prayer of Nehemiah. It's in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, if you want to follow me. The prayer of Nehemiah. He went to the Lord because he had a strategy, because he knew that in his heart he wanted to return back home to rebuild that city, to rebuild the walls again. And he knew that he had to go to this king for help. So first of all, he went to the Lord. And he took words with him. Take with you words. He didn't blame the people back home. He didn't blame Israel without including himself. He says, yes, it's our fault. And he acknowledged, says, we have sinned against the Lord. Not them, but we. And he made it even more personal. Nehemiah said, both I and my father's house have sinned. Take with you words. Nehemiah chapter 1, if you're interested. Take with you words. There is no spiritual prosperity apart from confession. Take with you words. Both I and my Father's house have sinned. We have done evil. You might look good, and there is financial prosperity. There's a lot of prosperity going on. We are doing well. That was the problem at the church at Corinth. They were doing well. They were prospering. And the Apostle Paul says, you don't even realize your condition. You're in a bad way because you are tolerating a man there in the assembly that has taken his father's wife. What have you done about it? He says, you have not wept. You have not mourned. You have not confessed your sins to the Lord. You just move on as though nothing has happened. You're not prospering spiritually. You might be prospering financially, but you're in a bad way because you have not mourned. You're keeping this man there because he's probably giving a lot of money and he can support you, but you have not wept. I want you to take this man and deliver him to Satan. Clean it up. Take with you words and say, we have sinned. You know, when Israel is restored, and they will be restored to the Lord, you know, the news in Lebanon today is not good, but Lebanon was a beautiful place, prosperous, fruitful place. And by this, you know, Beirut is in a bad way today. But the Lord is using Lebanon as an example. He says, verse 5, I will be as the dew unto Israel, and he shall grow like the lily and cast forth his roots like Lebanon. You go to Lebanon where they had the majestic palms. Beautiful place. You shall be like the roots of Lebanon. Verse 6 says, his branches shall spread and his beauty shall be like the olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive like the grain and grow like the vine. The scent of it shall be like the wine of Lebanon. What a place. Place of fragrance, place of green grass. Fertile place. Place of those majestic palm trees. Lebanon today. We don't know. They're having a real hard time. But this was a beautiful place, a fertile place. And if you will confess your sins, you shall be like Lebanon. You should have that fragrance like Lebanon. You should have that growth, that wine, that fine tasting wine, like Lebanon. Take with you words. Isaiah, the prophet, call on God's people. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call. Take with you words. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. God promised. He says, I will heal their backsliding. He says, I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. What a welcome. What a welcome to the returning sinner, those who have transgressed, returning to the Lord in confession, taking words of repentance and turning to the Lord. The Lord says, I will receive him. I'm not going to be angry with you anymore. I'm going to heal you. and I'm going to bestow my love upon you freely. Freely. We need to get down to business, beloved, you and I, and to take words to the Lord, acknowledging who we are and what we have done. If we want to see spiritual progress, if we want to see movement among the people of God, my people must come together, he said. And they must humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Wonderful words of life we've been singing. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Thanks for having us. It's good to be with you, beloved. Appreciate you inviting us, and we pray that God will continue to bless his people here and encourage you in the things of himself. Father in heaven, we thank thee. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. We thank thee that he is the one who left heaven's glory and came to this earth, and he came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We thank thee that he endured the cross for us. He suffered the just for us, the unjust. And he paid the price for our redemption. And we thank thee that all who have put their faith and their trust in him have eternal life, have salvation, are saved by the grace of God. Those of us who are saved by his grace, we ask thee for grace, added grace, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. I ask thee to search us even now, and may we judge ourselves, and may we bring words to thee, words of repentance, so that we can be restored unto the joy of thy salvation. Accept of our thanksgivings and watch over us as we part the one from the other, Lord. Take us to respective homes in peace and in safety. Be with us and guide us and glorify thyself in us. We humbly pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.